Mercedes Moné is such a wonderful actress. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Square Circle Podcast. I am your host, Marie Shadows, and on this episode of the Square Circle Podcast, I will be breaking down Mercedes Moné, aka Sasha Banks, as she was formerly known. I will be breaking down her promo in Boston for AEW Dynamite's Big Business yesterday, and also talking a little bit about Will Ospreay's promo, because I just think that it's not as genuine as it should be, and there's a lot of energy and forced passion when it comes to Ospreay cutting promos now, and him talking about why he wants his dream match with Daniel Bryan. But before we get into that, please make sure to share this with a friend and let them know that they can tune in at any time to listen to me talk about professional wrestling. I do talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, WWE, MLW, and maybe sometimes the indies if I get the chance to watch it. But I do tend to talk about things that need to be talked about, if that makes any sense. Things that need to be looked at in a different perspective rather than the rosy lens of like, oh my God, here comes my favorite person, when there's no new added layers. The whole point of my podcast, the Square Circle Podcast, it's all about giving different perspectives, different opinions, and looking at things in a different way and trying to make wrestling better than it was yesterday. And also just giving feedback and critique, constructive criticism on things that could be done better, because I know that after maybe a couple weeks, all this is going to die down. And then the trolls are going to be like, oh, well, I thought she was a game changer. Like how every other women's wrestler in AEW is the supposed game changer, but nothing truly happens. And this is what kind of upsets me in a way, kind of frustrates me, is that it's the same thing over and over. And there's no true progression. There's nothing that would be like, oh, let me tune in this week. Oh, let me tune in the following week and in the following months, and you get the wonderful build up, and maybe that story comes to an end at a pay-per-view, or maybe it doesn't. You know, there's just certain buildups that doesn't make any sense. There's certain buildups and certain things that people say that it's like, you know, you don't believe that. And that brings me right into Mercedes Moné promo, because AEW hired the woman writer that was part of WWE when she got let go. They hired her specifically for Mercedes Moné. And I was surprised that this was the promo that they came up with. Or maybe she came up with it and then they were like, yep, I'm not arguing with you. You can go out there and say it. It's your hometown of Boston. I'm going to say that they gave Mercedes Moné the CM Punk treatment, which is a smart business move. I'm not knocking the business move. If you know that you have a popular wrestler from a distinguished hometown, whether that is Boston, Chicago, New York, or any other state or any other country, you would want them in their hometown to get the loudest pop, the biggest rating, and the most merchandise they have ever sold. Because it is not every day that your homegrown hometown wrestler is going to appear in that state or country every single time that the company tours. So she opens up the show. She gets a brand new theme song, which, by the way, I kind of prefer the other theme song that she had in New Japan Pro Wrestling, because that fits more to her character. She is Mercedes Moné, so she's there to make money. You know, it's a play on word, is all the puns and everything. And then she got that kind of theme song in AEW. By far, AEW has the worst wrestling theme songs there is. Like, it's really not comparable to anything else. There was no theme song in AEW that I have on my Spotify list. I have a lot more WWE theme songs on my Spotify list. And I have played religiously Cody Rhodes' theme song, Kingdom, by Downstate, so many times on my Twitch streams that Downstate follows me, because I was like, I end every single one of my streams with Cody Rhodes' theme song, just because it's one of the best theme songs I have on my Spotify playlist. But that's neither here nor there. Just wanted to throw that in there. So she comes out to her theme song, comes out in a very nice wrestling gear. She does tend to get really good wrestling gear, but I don't really care too much about wrestling gear as long as both men and women are covered up and they're still able to do the moves without like too much restriction, too much kind of backlash or anything that hurts them on their body, because you never know when trying out new gear, new cloths, anything that can happen. But I really don't care too much about ring gear. I care more about the wrestling ability and the promo ability and the connectability that professional wrestlers have between themselves and the audience and everything they do as a full package. Wrestlers that have amazing gear is just an added bonus to make sure that the characters flow very, very well. But when you have very creative women that constantly change their gear up and constantly wants to put any type of anime influence or gaming influence, and most people don't know what those references are, it kind of loses the connectability that you have with the fans. Yeah, it's cool ring gear that you're going to wear for like one night that is very special, but you got to think long term of like, is this really going to be worth it, or is it really going to matter? Is it going to matter to you and then maybe the couple of thousand people that get the reference? Like, everybody in attendance should be like, she has amazing gear, and not have to either question themselves or question their friend to be like, hey, is that gear a reference to something? And then they may have to Google it. And then when someone has to look at their phone to Google if that ring outfit is a reference to a video game or anime or something of pop culture, they are going to lose the connectability with that fan, because fans technically should not really be on their phone to go tweet out or whatever. If they're recording, that's cool. They could put it up later, but you don't want to lose the connection with the fans. Now, it's a little bit harder to control that if you're doing arenas that are like 10,000 plus fans. Obviously, that's way too difficult. But like, if you're in the indies and you're listening to this and you are an indie wrestler, you know, you have to keep the focus of the fans on you, the match, what's happening, and not so much on their phone if it's a prolonged time on their phone, if that makes sense. I said this before in another podcast episode talking about ring gear and how like it doesn't mean anything if the women want to get creative in the pop culture, anime, and gaming space for that one night. It's not going to mean anything because it's not going to be part of your everyday week-to-week gear. It should be, because it looks damn cool. And if you are very connected with a specific type of fandom that you love wholeheartedly, that should be part of your gimmick. That should be part of your character. That should be part of the layers that make you up to be the very best in the outfit, be the very best in the character that you want to portray, rather than just doing a one-off. Because if you do a one-off, like, what's the point? Be proud in the fandom that you love and let that shine through the character. You may have some pushback from management if they don't see the reason why you should add some fandom love to your character, to your lore, to your look, to your gear. But you could always tell them very sweetly and nicely why it would work and what you envision for your character. In professional wrestling, everything is such a team effort, even if it feels like it doesn't. Even if you read from the dirt sheets that it's not that way, it is. Wrestling can only be done as a team effort, a we effort, more than an I, and what can you do for I, rather than what you can do for we. I understand that in wrestling, it may feel like that if you are a true fan and you don't want to open up your mind to the idea that in wrestling, to get things done, it is a team effort. But I am telling you from experience that it is a team effort. There are times where the writers will probably be like, this wouldn't make sense, this wouldn't work. But you can always talk to people as if like, they're good human beings rather than being snappy at them. Because if you try the good way and try to bring your perspective over to know how to communicate well, then maybe they'll give it a shot. Maybe they'll give it a chance. While I'm still talking about ring gear, I do want to mention that there is a time and place for everything in wrestling. And I think that if people are going to have really good ring gear, and if they're going to cosplay as their favorite fandom, whether that's pop culture, anime, gaming, that they should incorporate that in their feud, in their storytelling ability. So that way, when we get to the final match between the two opponents, the one wrestler that likes to create creative gear should be of a character or a fandom that goes along with the story, that tells an even greater story of their character. So that way everything can make sense and not just some random fandom ring gear made for the sake of the match to look cool. Like, everything should come together as the story that it should be, the theater that it should be, because professional wrestling is theater. That is the purest form of professional wrestling. It is theater. It is a play. You are there to play a character. Now, some can get away with just being themselves and getting over on themselves, and they don't really have to do much. But for the 99% of it all, it's theater. It's acting. It's playing a character. So if you are very passionate about the fandom that you love, start incorporating that into your character, and you'll be able to get fans on your side. Those fans will do word of mouth, where they'll tell other fans like how cool you are, why you do this, why you do that, the meaning of your gear, and how your gear helped elevate one of the stories you're trying to tell, whether that is in ring or even outside the ring by doing promos. So it is very important to make sure that everything you're trying to tell and keep the fans' attention is done with a purpose. All right, let me get into this 5-minute promo, which, again, should have been better than it was. So she opens up with calling out Boston. It's her hometown. We know this already. And she starts being the actress that she knows that she wants to be. And I say actress because nothing feels genuine. And even before this promo, if you guys haven't seen the clips that were going around on Twitter about her having an interview with another podcast and doing the crocodile tears, which was very cringy, talking about how WWE gave her all of this stuff, all the opportunities, and even saying in the same breath without the crocodile tears that she will one day be back at WWE. First of all, how do you do that on a podcast knowing that you're going to debut at AEW and you want people to take you seriously? That's the thing. Like, you have to be sure in your convictions. You have to keep it kayfabe. And even if you know that you're going to go back to WWE one day, you have to play it off as like, no, I'm never going back. AEW is my home now, and AEW is where I'm going to try and build it up until things go haywire and things happen and shit happens, and then she's back at WWE for whatever reason it may be. And I bring this up because, again, she's a great actress that people are falling for, and I can smell bullshit. Most of us can smell bullshit. If you are a New Yorker, you know you can smell bullshit too. So in this promo on AEW, she's there talking about her accomplishments without mentioning the other place and how, you know, she was part of the women's revolution, and we all know this. She also mentions her influence, which is Eddie Guerrero. We know this. She also mentions how she dropped out of school at 13 to take care of her brother, and how the first wrestling company she worked for gave her a chance, and then that springboard into her going to WWE and all that kind of stuff. She mentions how she wants to be here, needs to be here, wants and needs to be in AEW, and how they're going to take everything global, which it's like, I don't believe you for a second, because you said the same thing about New Japan Pro Wrestling, X Stardom, that whole partnership that you had with them. And if we're really, 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 really being honest, I understand the business side of wanting to be that influential person, that influence where people look up to you and be like, yeah, she headlined the Women's Revolution pay-per-view and they did the Women's Revolution in WWE, and that was very awesome for that time and place for WWE, because WWE did not put a huge focus on women's wrestling. We know this. However, if we're going to be really, really honest, aside from TNA Wrestling, Total Nonstop Action was the first official kind of spotlight to put on women's wrestling and took very many risks to put women at the forefront of professional wrestling. So if anybody wants to look up to how to take it global, you look to TNA first. And then you look to WWE second, as when they're taking the whole entire company and fan base global. They just wrapped up a pay-per-view, Elimination Chamber, in Australia. They have not been to Australia yet. WWE is getting out there. They're going to go to France. They're going to go to Belgium. They went to Wales. They went to Saudi Arabia. And for someone like Mercedes Moné to understand how big of a giant WWE is and everything that WWE gave her, I think it's a little disingenuous to believe and think that AEW is going to take everything global when they're currently burning through money, signing everyone and anyone, not getting enough ticket sales, and have all this bad press PR baggage, including the crazy tweets from Tony Khan. I don't think any other place around the world would want AEW to be there, because there has not been such a huge interest to have AEW there other than UK, meaning Wembley Stadium. That's because, in my opinion, I think UK fans are just tired of their own indie circuit, and they tend to latch on to American wrestling to want to get these guys to go over there to get something new. But that's just my personal opinion. It might piss some people off, but that's just an observation I see. When it's like, you have your own guys, your guys are doing well, but you guys always love the American side of things, and it's like, why don't you try to help your guys get out to other places and start supporting them in other places, and being like, hey, company like MLW, or hey, company like New Japan Pro Wrestling, or hey, indie companies, can you find a way to book this UK wrestler? He's great. He's good on the circuit. He won all these championships. Here's his accomplishments. Is there any way that you can look at his matches? Here, I'll drop a link of his match or her match. Can she get some bookings and show off to the American people? Because I think that she'll be great as an asset, or he'll be great as an asset for your company. Like, send out emails to American companies to get your guys out, so that way they can take the risk of coming to America and fighting in America and just running the circuit, you know? Because I see the same guys being on the graphics in the UK scenes, and I'm like, are they ever going to leave the nest? That's what I tend to hope, that one day they tend to leave the nest in the UK and go other places and go to Italy. Italy has a very healthy wrestling company over there, which I was looking into. I just can't remember the name, but they have a healthy wrestling company. France has a healthy wrestling company. Out here in America, we have healthy indies. And it's just about traveling. It's about getting your name out there, right? So, you know, I just think that there comes a time where you have to leave the nest. There comes a time where you have to put in the hard work to make a name for yourself and get different opportunities. And yeah, it's going to be hard. It's really going to be hard. But people believe in you. You believe in yourself. And that's the most important thing, is to believe in yourself. Which I know I can definitely segue this into Mercedes Moné believing in herself wholeheartedly. And there's nothing wrong We're believing in yourself. You got to have confidence first. If you don't have confidence, how are other people going to have confidence for you? Also, there is a difference between having confidence and being delusional. Anyway, back to the promo. She also mentions how she can't wait to have matches with the women in the locker room and calls out Willow Nightingale because they do have history. They were in the finals at New Japan Pro Wrestling's Resurgence to fight for that New Japan Pro Wrestling's strong openweight women's championship title, where unfortunately Mercedes Moné hurt her ankle and they had to go to the finish and take it home. And Willow won via pin. And then we have not seen Mercedes Moné for a while. She did some signings and then she went to AEW to debut, which brings me to another point, is that if she did not want to tell anybody about where she was going, and I thought that she was going to go right back to WWE to help out Bayley, because Bayley is like, I have no friends. So it makes sense for Sasha to go back to WWE to help out Bayley. No matter how you feel about the situation, people grow, people change, management changes. And just because you have a personal feeling or gripe against WWE and how they treated Sasha and Naomi and that whole situation, business is business. Money talks. Money will forgive everything and anything, especially when you need the money or you want the money and you know where to go because you'll be seen by millions and millions of people and your merchandise will sell out. So, like I said, business is business. So I thought that she would give herself away via all of the Instagram stories that she was doing before, that she'll go to WWE, be with Bayley because Bayley doesn't have any friends. For her to show up in AEW is sort of like another stop in the road for her career. And I'm very interested to see what she kind of does in AEW. I will be observing from afar. But getting back to the point, if that fan enraged her and she said, why would I tell you and to not read the dirt sheets? Why for the past 2 months, I think 2 months, were the dirt sheets allowed to say that Mercedes Moné is showing up here, Mercedes Moné is doing this, Mercedes Moné is definitely going to show up in AEW, like all the stuff they usually do, all the stuff they usually say, why were they allowed to do so for the past weeks without any correction from Mercedes Moné herself, if she wanted this to be such a surprise and get upset at fans when they ask her out directly, not even going around making a story and buttering her up and being like, oh my God, you're my favorite. I can't believe you're signing this for me. Like, oh my God, I have this one question. You know, you're amazing. You main evented. You did this. Oh my God, it's you. Oh, wait, but my question is, are you going to show up in AEW like the dirt sheets say, and then you get mad at them, but never corrected the dirt sheets? I just don't understand that. I really don't. A lot of wrestlers don't like the dirt sheets because they do lie. They do make up a lot of false stories that wrestlers end up correcting them. And no one gets the message of like, you guys should not be doing this because you guys can be liable to be sued for defamation. But, you know, dirt sheets think that they're untouchable. And it's fans that paid the dirt sheets X amount of money to still enable this and want to act like they have insider knowledge when they really don't have insider knowledge. So here's my theory, because if you guys did not see on the Twitter timeline, Tony Khan posed with the new president of Stardom, which is Taro Okada. Taro Okada and Tony Khan posed yesterday, and obviously Taro was in attendance for AEW Big Business, because if you don't know, we don't have the Ring of Honor Club, you would have not known, or maybe you didn't know by looking on Twitter, that Mina Shirakawa, I hope I pronounced her last name right, that Mina showed up on Ring of Honor programming and had a match, and she's part of Stardom. And so, obviously, Taro was going to bring some Stardom ladies over to AEW to have a match, and hopefully the world gets to see her. If they have a subscription to the paywall, or if they don't, then what was the point? Anyway, my working theory right now is this. The only reason why Mercedes Moné accepted to go to AEW for a little bit is so that way she can still have that partnership and that connection to Stardom / New Japan Pro Wrestling, because New Japan Pro Wrestling created the IWGP Women's Heavyweight Championship title and then also the Openweight Women's Strong title as well. And currently the women are fighting for it, and Stardom has the connection with New Japan Pro Wrestling as being the sister company to New Japan Pro Wrestling. In Japan, they separate the sexes and the genders. It is very rare that we get to see men and female fight each other, and it's very rare to see a mixed tag match. However, New Japan Pro Wrestling did their first ever New Japan and Stardom crossover, the historic crossover, which I covered. And that was amazing to see the mixed tag team matches that came about the historic Stardom X New Japan Pro Wrestling. So the theory is that under Mercedes Moné's conditions, probably, to work for AEW, she will still have to do some Stardom matches. And now that Rossi is no longer part of Stardom, and by the way, Rossi was the one that started Stardom. That was his baby, his company. I don't understand how you just fire the person that made the company, even though they're under Bushiroad. But Rossi was protecting the ladies of Stardom. He was protecting what he had. Maybe there were good reasons why he didn't lend out his Stardom ladies to AEW as often, because he knows that Tony Khan will poach the talent. How many talents from New Japan Pro Wrestling did he poach by telling them, I could give you whatever you want with whatever X amount of money you want and whatever you want in the contracts, because I am ATM Tony Khan, baby, so I could give you whatever you want. And I think Rossi knew that Tony Khan was poaching everybody and saw what he was doing behind the scenes, and didn't want any of his ladies to go over to AEW and get sidetracked by the illustrious amount of money, but didn't know what to really do. Because when you're running a business like professional wrestling, and you need to have a vision, whether it is short-term or long-term vision for the members on your roster, and to tell this story. Because again, professional wrestling at its core is theater. You are playing a character. You are playing a story. You have to understand what the long-term vision is for your character, what the short-term vision is for your character, the obstacles your character has to overcome, the promos you have to do to get people invested and emotionally attached to what's happening. So it's a whole big thing. And sometimes I think that Tony Khan doesn't understand that, and no one wants to sit him down and be like, look, we need to have a vision. You are hiring all these people. You are taking them away from other opportunities that could be great and better for them. But no, you want to throw money in their face and mess up the economy sort of way in the world of wrestling, where people would think that they are good or they are better. And then sometimes you got to be like, well, you're kind of mediocre. Like, you're not there at that level. You know, we can't pay you X amount of money. But it's okay. Tony Khan would be like, hey, I want you for the sake of wanting you, and I think that you're really great, so here's all this money. And then when they get the money, the storytelling aspect from week to week to week to push the story along, it's not there. It doesn't add up. Like, cool, you're taking an awesome payday check, but how does that equate to telling compelling stories? Meaning, like, the value of your storytelling is subpar and went down just because you have a very super lucrative, comfortable check. And I hope that people can understand the bigger picture of what I'm trying to get at, is that sometimes getting the bigger bag doesn't mean you're going to produce the better quality. And even getting a smaller bag doesn't mean you're going to produce the better quality anyway. But your passion should be, we got to tell the story. We got to do high quality stuff to get people invested. It does not matter the money, because if you know how to make your money work, if you invest your money into stocks where you know you're going to get a return investment, if you invest your money into something that you know that will end up paying you back and you get that passive income coming back, you should be golden. You should know how to budget your finances and make sure you have everything in order. By no way am I giving legal advice here or financial advice for this kind of stuff. But in the world of wrestling, we know so much now that people can become millionaires on the amount of money that is given to them. You need to understand how to like live within your means rather than like being excessive and stuff. So I'm just saying that like, the quality of storytelling should not just be subpar or just standard when you know you need to produce a high quality and get people invested in order for a company like AEW to make money and not get the money out of the deep pockets that not only Tony Khan has from his dad, but also from Ric Flair. Like, we can't forget that Ric Flair's energy drink company is also supplying Tony Khan with the funds to pay the wrestlers as well. Did we forget that? Also, going back to Rossi, Rossi also saw how Mercedes Moné was going to be, and nobody reacted to her. Honestly, there really wasn't enough time for the fans to really get to know her. When the Japanese crowd is introduced to a brand new person, they are often quiet about it for a little while. And then the more time you show up, the more time that you speak, the more time that you spend with the fans and doing the meet and greets and the media and stuff like that, they will eventually warm up to you. But she wasn't there long enough for the fans to warm up to her. And then even when she did come out at Wrestle Kingdom, it was still silence. Like, the fans did not know who she was. And then to ask that question during the press conference of, were you expecting me, or something like that, where it was a little like ego filled, where it was like no one really was expecting you. The fans don't really know who you are. Some of the Japanese fans may have known who she was, but overall, the silence is deafening. And on most occasions, I will say that when the Japanese crowd is silent, that means that they are respecting you as a performer, as a wrestler, and they like what you do in the ring. However, that's not the case with everybody. With Mercedes Moné, it was just silence. Like, we don't know who you are, kind of thing. And even when she wanted the press to ask her questions, it was still felt like they were afraid to do so. And so all those promos of her doing the singing and the music and trying to be creative, that was all cringy. So Rossi probably figured that it's best to just cut his losses and knew that she wasn't worth it. And I know people might get upset if I say that, you know, they probably knew she wasn't worth it, but really don't get upset at it. WWE made her look like $1 million. WWE has a good way of covering up any kind of weaknesses that you have and showing the world your strengths through various trials and tribulations, through various stories, through various dialogue situations, the whole entire works. And by the way, I was a fan of Sasha Banks before you guys think that I wasn't. I was a fan of her, but just not like a super fan. I was like, hey, I appreciate what she does. I appreciated the fact that Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair main evented WrestleMania. I was a fan of that. I was like, cool, that's fucking awesome. And that's something that we as a wrestling community can never take away. And we shouldn't even take it away. We shouldn't even diminish it. But the point still stands that WWE makes people who don't have the full package into believing that they have the full package. And then when they go on their own, you kind of see that they don't have the full package, that they never really have the full package. Because if she would have applied herself and if she would have done other things to get better at, especially doing promos, especially trying to do the little song insults to get better at that, then it probably would have been a better debut for her in AEW. And then she probably would have continued to stay with Stardom, because even after that, after she hurt her ankle, there was no word of when she's going to have her next match. There was no promo that she could have did to Stardom and be like, oh, it's not over. You know, how dare Willow Nightingale try to end my career? How dare she do that? Does she not know who I am? I am the CEO. I'm the one that makes money and makes sure that promoters give her a check or something. Like if she went into her Mercedes Moné persona, right, where she has to look up at you, turn her nose up at you, because all she does is make money. Money rains down on her. She says she's a CEO. She's money, right? So her name carries weight, whether that is Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné. You know that when she comes through that curtain, she's going to be making money. So she could have just did promos out of nowhere to be like, how dare someone try to end my career? I'm the one that makes sure that everyone gets paid around here. I am the CEO. You don't do that. Like, I would have been, okay, good. We got something going, girl. We got something going where it makes sense with the character. Be and play up that rich girl type of thing where, like, she can make money fall from the trees and you get paid or whatever the case. I'm probably beating this down further, but I don't know what else to say about her character, but that's something that I just came up with that would have worked. And to keep her name in the public of the IWC rather than her outburst of going after fans when fans ask her a direct question, where she could have just nicely said, hey, I want you to keep watching. So I'm not going to tell you. You can continue to read the dirt sheets if you want to, but I need you to keep watching the socials and keep watching the television shows, because you don't know where I'm going to end up at. That is how you be diplomatic in fan situations where fans think that they know because they read the dirt sheets. You basically turn it back on them and you're like, hey, I appreciate you asking the question of where you think I'm going to end up at, but I need you to continue watching the socials for me because you don't know, I don't know, but I need you to continue to support me. And I think that's very supportive that you want to see me somewhere on TV. So continue watching the show, the socials. I can't tell you where I'm going to go right now. Bam. You know, that's how you treat fans sometimes. And I get it. Sometimes fans are trolls. Fans will definitely push all your buttons and everything and like want to get a reaction out of you. But if you turn it around on them and make it like, hey, I see what you're doing. I see that you're my fan. And I see that, you know, you just don't know how to express yourself, right? But I need you to keep that same energy and keep hoping and tweeting out that you want to see me on AEW, that you want to see me on WWE, that you want to see me on New Japan Pro Wrestling, on Stardom, on MLW, in the Indies, wherever you like to watch wrestling at. Like, that is how you combat some of the trolls that may not know how to express themselves as they should be expressing themselves. When they see a famous person and they think that it's better to antagonize them for the clout and for the high school bullshit. But when you turn it around on them, you can make a fan for life. You can make somebody that can definitely support you for life. You know, just little tiny things and little different PR things that wrestlers can do rather than just really going after the trolls and really trying to stoop to their level and say some really horrible shit back to them. My point stands is that if she decided to put as much effort as she does into her ring gear, into the overall product of what Mercedes Moné can be, it will be amazing. it can definitely get people talking. It could definitely create great conversations around a round table of like your favorite women's wrestlers, your favorite promos, gimmicks, you know, have conversation about Mercedes Moné. So that way the legacy of Sasha Banks can still remain intact for WWE purposes. But if she really wanted to make a legacy of her own, the same way that Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, has made a legacy of his own, and he's no longer in his dad's shadow. And I'm only using this as a analogy, as a way to think bigger. If Mercedes Moné wanted to truly, truly make her own legacy, she would definitely put in the time and effort to make Mercedes Moné, that name, a household name by putting in the effort to just do little things differently, to not come in with so much ego and look at things differently with different situations. I really can't say much at the moment because we're not really given a lot, but just based on the fact that I was able to come up with like what she could have done during her downtime while she was recovering from that match from New Japan Pro Wrestling versus Willow Nightingale would have been the perfect setup for why she came to AEW, because she was really looking for that rematch and wanted to teach Willow a lesson of like, how dare you try to take out the one person that can bring you the bag, bring you the money. And this is the kind of stuff that goes over people's heads when they listen to my podcast episodes, because they just think that I am ranting and it's very unhealthy to be upset with AEW and you should enjoy wrestling and all this kind of stuff. Do you see that I also try to encourage wrestlers and try to encourage constructive criticism and also give story ideas of how to make characters stand out from the rest? That is the problem with the IWC, is that they don't want people to stand out from the rest. People are just content with that. Oh my God, they're getting money. Like, leave them alone. They're happy. If they're happy, I'm happy. Well, you accept mediocre shit. And this is why we have mediocre television. This is why we have a revision of a bunch of things that made the 70s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s great, because you just want to sit there and be mediocre about it and don't want to elevate yourself and don't want wrestlers to elevate themselves. It's not about how much money they're making and if they're happy. I want everybody across the board to be happy in their own way, because happiness is different for everybody else and that looks different for everybody else. What I'm saying is that wrestlers should always strive to be better for the next time around they're on TV or they have a booking or whatever the case may be. And by doing that, you are always a student of this game. For the fans that want to sit on their couch and be mediocre about it, they're probably not going to do much in their life or have many more accomplishments. Wrestlers are a different type of breed that you don't get in life. You really don't. Wrestlers have an undying work ethic and dedication and commitment to something that can definitely either end their life, end their career, or leave them in debt and all that kind of shit, right? Like, a wrestler has a different way of thinking than most of us ordinary people. So I want them to get all the accomplishments that they want to get. I want them to elevate themselves, tell the stories that make them feel happy, tell the stories that can help someone overcome obstacles, overcome barriers, and basically be that shining light that they probably never saw themselves as. You know, and that might be a lot, because that's a lot to unpack. But I really want wrestlers to go above and beyond to make sure that their legacy is the one that we always talk about, rather than just the bare minimum because you got into wrestling as a hobby. I get that. Make it your passion. There's a lot of wrestlers out there that have the passion to go do it. And sometimes we get lost along the way, and I totally understand that. But it is way much more than just like, oh, if they're happy, I'm happy. Great. Are you buying their merch? Are you tweeting at everybody to be like, hey, you got to watch this wrestler because they're my favorite wrestler? Are you like helping them word of mouth, whether they are signed, unsigned, still in the indies? Like, if you are going to be happy for them, you also have to put in the work with them, because the internet is at your fingertips and word of mouth is priceless. And I just don't like that way of thinking of like, oh, well, you know, if they're getting paid, that's awesome. You know, if they're happy, I'm happy. I don't like that way of thinking, because then people become complacent. And wrestlers, I really don't want you guys to become complacent. And I think that's what happens sometimes with Mercedes Moné. When you look at her, she has become complacent because she knows that her name is going to bring weight to the table and to weigh her options of what she wants to do. And somebody could definitely tell me, well, she does train and she puts up videos and she does this and she does that. Anybody could put up a training video of them in the ring. That doesn't mean that they're getting better in other aspects that professional wrestling needs. Professional wrestling is not just about moves. Professional wrestling is everything. It is theater. Professional wrestling is the moves, the athleticism, the training, the promos, the character work, the gear, the story, the long-term vision, the short-term vision, how you want to walk, how you want to say things, how you want to look, the mannerisms. There's a reason why WWE right now is far ahead than AEW in terms of how to act, how to talk, how to be a wrestler, how to make sure that you are connecting with the crowd. And there are people in AEW who do that kind of stuff, but it gets overshadowed by all the bullshit that happens. So it's like trying to pick out the good in the bad overall for AEW. And again, anybody can tell me that she does this, she does that, but if she doesn't apply herself for anything else, then I'm like, well, she's not really doing the work, so to speak. Her promo on AEW yesterday in her hometown, her debut promo, was very underwhelming. It was filler. She said nothing, really nothing. And then to close the show at the end of the night to save Willow, when Willow is supposed to be your opponent coming up soon, it's one of those like, all right, cool. But Tony Khan always has that formula for the AEW women's division of one woman gets beat down after a match by two other women, and here comes the save, and bam, that's it. Like, why is that a thing in AEW? Why haven't the AEW fans, especially either the women fans or together women and men, why don't you guys speak up about that, about the formula that happens in AEW? Everyone will be quick to be like, WWE has this formula that you guys are brainwashed, that, you know, this is going to happen on Monday Night Raw because of the formula. They follow the formula. But the moment that AEW continues to do the beatdown of the one woman by the two women wrestlers, and then somebody runs down the ramp to go save the one that's getting beat up formula, when that's done over and over and over again, why is that not being called out? I will say this to wrap everything up. I always want wrestlers to be the best version of themselves and to make memories in this business and have this legacy and everything like that. But you cannot be overhyped and underdeliver when you are not part of the WWE machine that WWE makes the stars that we see today. And that is why we continue to talk about those WWE made stars. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in, listening. And if you got this far, thank you so much. I just want to make sure that all of my points and perspectives were heard before anything was taken out of context. But I do appreciate you guys listening, tuning in, and sharing this episode talking about Mercedes Moné debuting in AEW and just breaking it down and even giving some character help of how she could become a household name. I highly appreciate it. And just so you guys know, I will begin streaming again on Kick.com. If you guys don't know what Kick is, it is another streaming platform that does not have any ads. And I am trying this time around to get into the Kick Creator Incentive Program, where this is the first time ever that a streaming platform will pay you a minimum wage kind of salary for the amount of hours that you stream. Now, we are nowhere near the requirements at the moment, so I would love for everyone that listens to this to go down to the description below and click on the link for my Kick channel to follow the stream, and then when I go live, to come chill with me, hang out with me, talk about wrestling, even one day maybe playing WWE 2K24. This is my birthday month after all, so it'll be a very nice present if anybody wants to get me the game so I can play, go through the story, and again, just talk about wrestling, chill out, vibe out. It will be over at kick.com/Marie Shadows. And yeah, so basically no ads. You can still gift some subs to me and or the community. The biggest thing that we need to accomplish is getting unique chatters into the live streams. That is between 300 to 500 unique chatters. So that means that you need to bring a friend and tell a friend and have them come hang out with me over on Kick. That's the only way to get unique chatters. That goes with anything. If you are a content creator and they're like, hey, but what is your unique metric? It means that you have to bring in somebody new that never saw or listened to your content, and that will count as a unique viewer, a unique chatter, a unique metric when these companies ask for, hey, I need you to get X amount of unique something for the metric. So we need chatters. And I look forward to having lots and lots of chatters in my chat. So that way I can say, hi, what's up? We could talk about wrestling. And I know the IWC loves to talk about anything and everything. So if you are a chatter, welcome. If you know some other chatters, bring them over to kick.com/Marie Shadows. As always, I have my wrestling planner that's still out on Barnes & Noble's. You can get that down in the description below. And anything else to stay in touch with yours truly, Marie Shadows, the host and the creator of the Square Circle podcast. I do hope that you found this podcast knowledgeable. And again, share it with a friend. Come over whenever I am live, either on Twitch or Kick. Twitch is just twitch.tv/Marie_Shadows. Kick is kick.com/Marie Shadows. And yes, I would love to, with all of your help together, to go into the program that Kick has. And if that's very interesting for you, again, everything will be down in the description below. So make sure to go check that out. Thank you so very much. You have been listening to an episode of the Square Circle podcast. I am your host, Marie Shadows, and I'll see you guys on the next one.